You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
So now we get to Humble. And when we talked about this with Sho, I believe we said that this song might feel differently in the context of the album.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you've heard the album, how do you feel about Humble?
I still don't like it.
Mm.
It's better than what it was by itself, but I'm still not crazy about it. With this, it feels like I'm just waiting for the hook.
Interesting.
Because like the verses are like, and maybe I don't like the flow he picked or like, I don't know. Mm. I'm just not crazy about Humble.
And you don't like the beat.
It's funny because I like what Mike Will was trying to do.
Mm.
That's like it's a Suedo early Aftermath / Beats by the Pound. That's KLC all day.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I just don't like it.
It's so simple, but it just works so well. It's such a monster in the car.
Mm.
And which is interesting because much of this album, really, you benefit by listening on headphones. The way, like, and part of that is just, you know, as Kendrick and Ali tend to do when they, you know, I don't know if it's Ali who's doing this all by himself or if it's with Kendrick's direction or how it exactly works, but there's a lot of details, right? They're panning this over here, doing this, like, there's a lot of records on here that really like I need headphones to get full advantage of this album. But Humble is sort of an exception to that. Humble is made for the car to me.
Mm.
But to me, like, so Humble like kicks off the second half of the album, and it, you know, much like it continues this swerve, right? You know, we go from Element to Feel to Loyalty to Pride to Humble, and then we're about to take another swerve after this again, but it is this back and forth and back and forth. And if that's not the feel you want to an album, like I could totally get it. But like I said, like it fits in much better now that I've heard this.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Let's talk about Lust.
Yeah.
Produced by DJ Dahi, Soundwave, and Bad Bad Not Good. So again, like I said, we are swerving. We go from Humble to what I would say feels like a long lost Andre 3000 record.
I like this record better when it was Vibrate on the Love Below.
Yeah, I'm going to say something's going to make you really mad.
Go ahead.
This is better than Vibrate.
And this concludes.
This song is great. This hook. Woo! That Rap Boy sample, which I have no idea why it works, but it does work. And that's the Nightgear Rattles. That's the British whatever sample talking about Nightgear Rattles. Makes no sense, and yet it's incredibly dope, and it's so hip-hop, but, oh, man. This song is so good. Love this song, but I'm guessing you're not quite there.
Nah, I don't like this record.
Hmm.
Like, at all.
At all?
Mm-mm. Yeah, nah. It,
Wow.
It's weird with this album because the highs are really, really high. Like, this album starts off really, really dope. And just the middle, like nothing after Loyalty so far jumps at me. It's just like, feels like I'm waiting on something.
Hmm. That's interesting. I mean, Lust is right. Cause it's, you know, you could look at this track list and go Humble, Lust, Love, but like, I'll give Kendrick credit. Cause this is not about lusting after a woman necessarily. This is about lusting for all these things in his life that he has now. Right. And again, the concept of the album, why is he doing this? Right? Why are people thirsty? Right? Wickedness or weakness? I give, like, to me, it is, Lust is so important to the concept of the album. But even just without the concept of the album, this song is great.
Mm.
Oh, no.
And I mean, but you keep bringing up the concept, you know, delves into what I was talking about earlier. Like, well, do people like this because of the concept that he was, you know, attempting to pull off or because the music's good? You seem to be in the class of both.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving him credit. I mean, because we judge rappers who say that they're going to make concept albums particularly harshly on Clock Radio Speakers.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of rappers who are like, oh, I'm telling, I got a concept. And then they abandon it three tracks in.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about Wale, who had the opportunity to do a project with Jerry Seinfeld, and like, he disappears after the sixth song. It's like, where'd Seinfeld go? Were you only able to afford three skits?
I mean, like, even an album that is, you know, one of my favorite albums ever, Cuban Links, right? is supposedly, like, the album is supposed to kind of be conceptually about, like, this is their last score, right? This is their last chance. But they abandon that all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm pointing out the concept. For me, it's more like it's holding him in check, like, does this fit? Because I read an interview with Soundwave where he said that they cut a lot. They recorded much more than this.
Yeah.
And they specifically were like, does this make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm bringing this up just to be like, okay, does this actually work? Does this make sense? So, oh man, you don't like Pride or Lust. Oh, goodness. Okay. Nope. Well, can't wait to hear what I have to say about Love featuring Zachary. this song had an interesting genesis because it was originally a Zachary record. So produced by Teddy Walton and Greg Kirsten, who are two pop producers, and then Soundwave touches up some stuff. But I don't think it was a full-fledged track. Kendrick heard it last year and basically asked for the session files. He asked for the stems almost immediately. And then they reworked it into this.
Yeah.
This is a whole different sound for Kendrick. Like, this is a pop record.
1,000%.
I'm not mad at this at all in the context of the album.
Yeah.
Like, coming from Lust to Love, this totally makes sense. And listen, if J. Cole can make a song about folding laundry, Kendrick can make a song about his fiance.
Sure. I'm not mad at it. It's one of those records where I'm like, I'm trying to figure out if I like it or not.
Mm.
Like, it's weird. Like, maybe I don't like Kendrick on slower tempoed records.
I think that's abundantly clear. Like, I do actually, but Lust, Pride, like, there's a whole bunch of stuff up here where if the tempo is not high enough, you're not a Kendrick fan.
Yeah, because there's one record in particular, we'll get there. But yeah, it's weird. Like, when I was letting this album run, when I skimmed through it, I was like, I'm good. What's next? But when I let the album run, I was like, this is a really well-written song.
Mm.
And for me being in album mode right now, I don't really listen to music when I'm writing albums unless honestly it's for the show. But when I do listen to music, I'm listening to songwriting. How did you structure your record? And I'm particularly listening to rappity rappers structure their songs. Popular rappity rappers. How is Kanye, Kendrick, Drake, Big Sean, how are they structuring their songs to where they're not long-winded in their verses and able to still keep the attention of a pop audience without compromising the rappity raps? And this kind of does it just because it breaks up the verse with the vocal sample from the, you know, from the song or whatever. So I feel like I like it now because it's just really well written. I don't know how I'm going to feel about this record in like another month or two. I could like it even more. I'm not sure. I feel like I will. And especially if he's ending his tour or his sets with that.
Yeah.
Super interesting. Super, super interesting. It feels like Forever Young.
Just better.
1,000% better. I think you're the only person in the world who likes that song.
I don't like Forever Young.
I thought you did.
No. I hate Forever Young.
Man, I thought you were clamoring for a Mr. Hudson album in 2000.
There's only one Mr. Hudson song I like.
Oh, yeah. You like Why I Love You. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, one is good, the other is terrible. There's a
oh, wow, I love you so bad.
So let me ask you, so like, do you think this song even gets a push? Because like 5 years ago, this would be so tempting to try to do like a popish crossover, especially because I think TDE manages Zachary. So you'd think that they would push that, but given what runs radio nowadays and what runs streaming, I don't even think this makes sense as a single.
You said you don't think it makes sense?
No.
Mm.
Look at what's popular right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Humble debuted at number 2.
Yeah.
Humble, number 2 on the pop charts.
Yeah.
Love would have to be a super slow burn. He'd have to get it played on all different kinds of, but I just don't think it, you know.
Could we have an Alan Anthony thing? Could we have an All Right thing going on? Where like, you know, Freeway gets in on urban radio, but then, you know, there's the regular version by himself.
Yeah, there's a Zachary version with just one of these verses from Kendrick on it.
Yeah, but do you need, here's the TDE question I have.
Yeah.
So I saw a tweet or something like that where Top Dog said that I think Kendrick, SZA, I think Q and Soul are all coming out before the end of the year. Do all of them need Kendrick on their singles? Because it seems like all of them have had singles with Kendrick on them.
To varying degrees of success. I think SZA does.
Yes. You think SZA needs Kendrick? Or are you saying SZA yes. had Kendrick on a... Okay.
Q, I mean, Q's kind of in his own world right now.
Yeah. Yo, he's gotten really big. Just side note. He was at the end of that DNA video. I was like, yeah. he's eating well. He's successful. Good for him.
He's not quite Big Bang Busta Rhymes yet, but, you know.
He's also not like 45.
Right.
And stressed out trying to figure out how to keep up with the kids. So there's that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, we talked. I mean, Collard Greens was perfectly executed, and yet that song didn't really pop like it should have.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a different world. Like, streaming changes everything.
Yes, it does.
So it's, you know, I'll be honest, like, I don't have a handle on yet. I don't really have as good a handle yet on like what should be singles anymore.
Yeah. Cause I mean, nowadays, honestly, man, you literally just put your album out and you let the fans pick, because you're gonna have a great, streaming weekend. Like, your streams are going to be up. And then literally the numbers from that will tell you what song people are feeling.
I think Future's two projects are a perfect example. Like, do you think he really would have chosen Mask Off?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I think More Life is another really good example, right? Because he had almost too many possible records off there.
Yeah.
More Life is a great example of something where, like, he almost would have been better off, like, putting off a bunch, like, putting out some of those early... As like, oh, I have a new song, I'm putting on Apple Music. Oh, I have a new song, I'm putting Apple Music, and then wrapping them all together.
Mm.
Some of those might have had better life, because some of those records, which should be obvious hits, are going to get lost. It's the views problem.
Mm. So what's popping from, side note, before we get back into Kendrick. So what's popping on the on More Life?
I'm going to check Billboard right now.
It's got to be Portland, right?
I mean, Portland definitely is...
I feel like Portland is. I feel like KMT is, obviously, judging by the video that we saw today.
Mask Off is the number 7 record in the country right now.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Kodak Black, Tunnel Vision, top 20.
Crazy.
Passion Fruit is 22.
People really like Passion Fruit, yeah. Which sucks, because, you know, I feel like Passion Fruit is in the way of Get It Together.
Yeah, and Fake Love, which has been out for a while. And then Portland, and that's it for the top 50.
Yeah.
Oh, Childish officially put out Redbone. That's interesting.
Just now?
I mean, that's slowly climbing. So that must just be, they must be trying to give that a push now.
Yeah. I mean, but I feel like that's a record. They leaked that record, and I feel like it just got an overwhelmingly positive response.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, let's push this. Sometimes it just works.
Right. Like, for Future, like, that Rihanna record totally got lost in the flow, got lost in the, in, you know, in what has become Mask Off.
I'm laughing because I was about to say, what Rihanna record? Exactly.
But see, that's a different thing, because for a record like that, a properly hyped video could set that whole thing in motion again.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all these different angles and avenues for, like, getting up a single popular now. It's so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But
I agree.
I don't think, like, I think 5 years ago, a song like Love would have been pushed aggressively to radio and blah, blah, blah. But now, I just think it plays a role in the album.
I agree.
Okay. Let's talk about X-Rated.
XXX?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he calls it X. He only says X-Rated on the song, so I'm pronouncing it X-Rated.
All right. Well, okay.
Featuring U2.
Yep.
Produced by Mike Will, Dahi, and Soundwave, and the guy Bacan. How do you feel about X-Rated?
Yo, we have to talk about this record in two parts.
It's really three parts.
Okay.
Because there's the first part, and then there's the Ice Cube part. that's what I call it. And then there's the third part.
Okay. So to me, the first part and the Ice Cube part kind of blend into each other.
They
but
do.
I totally get the three parts.
So that first part.
First part is dope.
It's dope and totally threw me off, right? Because that intro... I wasn't expecting, you know, Kung Fu Kenny and then, you know, some DJ scratches. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And then they bring that piano in and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
All right. This is kind of bouncy and ominous and okay. And then the sirens come in.
Yo.
And there I am again, gripping the wheel, getting ready to be tagged in as I'm driving to work today.
This, I'm gonna keep it real, this is my favorite part of the album.
It's incredible.
The second part of the song is ridiculous.
Do you think Killer Mike heard this and just started yelling?
And Kendrick was like, hey, I gave you a shout out on the last album. The least I can do is take one of your, you know, Run the Jewel song. But Killer Mike couldn't have did this to this beat.
Killer Mike and LP, they both had to go take their dogs out for walks around the block to cool off after they heard this. Totally. They were just like, we did this for three times now.
Yeah, I didn't even think about saying putting this together as a Run the Jewels record, but you're 1,000% correct.
Because Killer Mike has been trying to do the reincarnation of Ice Cube for the past 5 years now.
Forever.
Maybe even longer.
Yeah.
Frankly, once he got out of like Killer Mike on the Whole World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
He's been doing this to various degrees of success.
I agree.
Frankly, more than I would have thought.
Yeah.
But the middle part of this song is unbelievable.
Yeah. Stupid.
Crazy.
Super stupid. I love it.
And can we talk about this third part?
Woo! You know what's funny?
Don't do this to me.
No. You know what's funny? First of all, this reminds me of the scene from Belly when, I know that might be bad for you, but I liked Belly, so hold on.
Belly is a cult classic.
It is a cult classic. So the part when Keisha got out of jail and T-Boz got her out, there was a song in the background that was playing, and I always wondered what it was and why it wasn't on the soundtrack, but it sounded dope. That song sounds like this, and I know a lot of people were upset about U2 being on this album. I totally like U2 on this record more than Kendrick.
Interesting.
I love the U2 part, and then I love that transition from 100 to 0 for me works way better than DNA to Ya.
Yeah. The hook is out, just completely out of here. It's great. The beat on part 3, oh my God.
Yeah, the beat is crazy.
And that last verse would have absolutely been my AOL Instant Messenger away message in the year 2000. Absolutely no question. Kendrick completely rips it. It's unbelievable.
That's amazing. Like, I haven't heard a verse on this album that made me say, yo, he killed that.
He kills this. There's a couple parts on here that he just kills. The second verse to Feel, but I would frankly say all of this song.
Like, I really like the way Feel is written. I meant to say that. I like the way Feel is written.
No, I think this is actually right. But that's because that third part is slow. It's that slow flow Kendrick.
Yeah, it could be it.
I like it a lot. I think X-Rated is crazy good.
Yeah.
Really way good better than I thought it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly had no idea what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm coming off of a dry spot, so I don't like, you know, from Pride to Love. I'm like bored.
Mm.
And this completely does it for me. But then I'm about to be bored again. So what's the next record?
Let's talk about Fear, produced by Alan the Chemist.
Let me go turn my lights on. Let me go get some water.
Wow.
Here we go. About that time.
So it's the beat from Heart Part 4.
Yeah.
With no beat switches, but we do get Cousin Carl.
Cutting Carl, yep.
Get him at the intro, we get him at the outro.
Yeah.
We get a reversed intro. We get a lot of rapping.
Good Lord.
So
this is the guy who raps for 3 minutes straight.
I consider this to have four verses.
Yeah, this definitely has four verses.
Right. There's him, his first verse, his parent talking about him at the age of 7. Him as 17 years old, and then him at 27 years old. And then the fourth verse, where this is where, I mean, I don't know if this was always this way, but he decides that he needs to lay out the concept of the entire album. If you've made it this far in Fear, I think he thinks that you deserve to know, here's what I'm trying to say in this album.
See? What did I say? I felt like, because they knew they weren't going to do skits, he kind of felt like he was nervous about the writing. Because of that, he was super long-winded, more long-winded than he needed to be.
I could do without the intro. I could do without the outro. I could do without the reversed intro. I think it takes too long to get up to speed here.
This record is 7 minutes. And I was excited. Yo, a 7 minute Alchemist record? I'm here.
Right.
This record feels like it's 25 minutes.
And yet, all of these verses are great.
They're cool.
The third and fourth verse are, Kendrick is so good at rapping. Like, can we just say that? He's ridiculous.
So Peter Rosenberg made a point, and that'll be one of the last times you hear me quote Peter Rosenberg on our podcast. But he made a point that was kind of interesting.
Okay.
He said, no one can rap better than Kendrick Lamar. He said, you've got your M's, and he feels like Jay is the GOAT, but, you know, there's people who can rap as good as him or in the same lane as him, but no one can rap better than him.
How do you feel about that statement?
Well, as a rapper, I'm like,
Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, really? Yo. But it's weird. Kendrick is really interesting as an MC.
Okay.
Because when I think of like rappity rappers,
yeah,
I think everything that Kendrick does except like his content is rappity rap.
Mm.
But like, think about it. So maybe like his most rappity rap verse is probably, shoot, his cipher from the BET Awards, we dissed Drake.
Right.
But records like, you know, verses like No More Parties in L.A., it's still conceptual. He's still telling a story.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily count storytelling as rappity raps, but his delivery, his cadence, all that is rappity rap. So it's really hard to put him in that conversation because he reminds me of an Ice Cube. Mm. Because Ice Cube often told stories, but he had a rappity rap posture. So it's really hard to like categorize him. I don't know. So when I hear people talk about him versus what he actually does, I feel like they're two totally different things. And I don't think that's bad.
That's interesting.
It just kind of throws me off. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm still not sure yet. I need to go back and like listen to the lyrics because I'm still digesting this album. Like, yeah. Again, I just heard it for the first time yesterday and I've heard it maybe four more. No, I heard a lot today. I played it like four or five times today.
I've heard this album quite a bit.
Oh, you have? Color me shocked.
Yeah, we're definitely far into the double digits. I'm not really sure where we're at with this album. I heard it three times before, like by Friday morning. I'm not gonna lie. I think I would agree with Rosenberg. I don't know what Kendrick can't do. And it's helped that he's surrounded by a machine of producers and people so that it's not like he's toiling away on beats that, like, because look, you know, yeah, M had Dre, but M also was doing his own thing with beats, and there's a whole other side conversation there. And
like the Bass Brothers?
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Kendrick's, he's incredible.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Fear?
I think it's extremely boring.
You think it's boring?
Yeah.
You needed some beat switches, didn't you?
I needed some beat on a 7-minute Alchemist beat. On a 7-minute Alchemist record? Yeah, I needed some. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they bring in some additional stuff on the final part, but, you know, I get it.
Yeah, nah, this record is super duper boring to me.
Wow.
I'm good. Yeah, I've had arguments and text messages with friends who've thought this record is incredible. And, you know, I'm like, I'm kind of bored. Like, I've only heard this song all the way through three times.
Yeah, I mean, if I was still doing 1.5s, like, I would trim this song considerably, but I wouldn't trim any of his rapping. You know, I would trim all the accoutrement surrounding it.
Yeah.
Because to me, I don't think the outro from his cousin matters that much.
I think that's the whole concept of the album.
The concept of the album is laid out in the, it's the first thing that is sung
it's
on
the
Blood.
It's the first thing, but it's what backs that up. It's the whole Deuteronomy, we've been cursed. You know, it's the first, Deuteronomy 28. He only starts at verse 28 and he just talks about the curses. The first 14 verses talk about, you know, the children of Israel and what happens if they, you know, choose to follow God.
Right.
And then the rest of it is what happens if they choose not to. And so that kind of just like that blows up. To me, that is what substantiates the claim of the question posed on the intro.
I think that this is his cousin's take on it. But I think when you get to the end of track 14, I think he lays out pretty clearly how he feels in terms of, is it wickedness or is it weakness? I don't think you need what his cousin's saying. I don't think it matters.
I'm debating, and I keep stopping myself because I'm debating if I want to have this conversation or if I want to rant, basically what I'm saying. And I kind of don't.
Okay.
But I think that it was important. He felt it was important for him to lay the scripture down, because again, like, there are no skits.
Right.
This is a skit.
It is.
It's a skit. He's like, this isn't a skit, but I have to put this on here. I understand why you say it's not necessary, and I won't even disagree with it. I feel like for him, because I don't necessarily agree with his stance. Actually, I don't agree with his stance using that scripture in this context, because unpacking that scripture is a completely different episode. I think it was I think he felt it was necessary for that to be there. And it almost makes me just want skits.
It's actually not clear to me that he actually believes this yet. There are lots of places on this album where he is clearly rapping from contradictory positions.
Absolutely. He's wrestling. To me, he's wrestling with it. Then when he gets to this point, then the next record is God. And he's like,
this is what God feels like.
Yeah, right. This is a completely, yeah. I feel like he has embraced that, or he's at least toying with the idea like, this could really be legit. This is why I'm wrestling with wickedness and weakness, because of this particular scripture. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's what I feel like his posture is. But again, I don't agree with his use of the scripture in that context. And then that goes into the whole Hebrew Israelites thing. And then you have to read you can't just take one chapter of a book and then say, or one chapter of the Bible and say, yep, this is us. And just ignore the context, ignore history, ignore everything else that surrounds it. Nope, we're cursed because of this. And then this is why this. It's a little deeper than that. And again, that would take freaking two episodes of Clock Radio Speakers that I do not have the patience to do right now to unpack that. But I get why he did it. But then I also get and understand and agree with, you know, you saying, I don't need this, because he just rapped about it.
Not only that, but like, again, I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, his cousin is saying like that they're, I mean, his cousin is saying they're cursed.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, maybe I'm interpreting how Duckworth ends, but I think Duckworth ends the other way.
Yeah. I mean, but that we'll.
Okay. We'll get there.
Should we explain it now, or should we wait?
We'll wait. We'll come back to this.
Okay.
So in between Fear and Duckworth, we have possibly the most divisive record on the album.
Hmm.
God.
Why is this a divisive record?
Maybe divisive is the wrong word. I don't know a lot of people who like this song.
I don't.
There you go. Produced by that same guy from THC, Soundwave, Dahi, Cardo. There's like a bunch of people, Young Exclusive. There's like a ton of people who produced on this.
Wait. Time out.
Yeah.
There's a producer named Young Exclusive?
Yeah. he helped Cardo on Levitate.
Mm. Okay.
Which is crazy why there are this many producers on here, because I'm trying to figure out what exactly they all did.
Right.
I don't hate this song, but I don't go for it immediately. I get what he's trying to do here, but I could skip this.
Yeah, this record is boring.
Mm.
Again, none of these songs are whack. They're just boring.
Mm.
So I haven't said anything was whack, but we're 13 tracks in, and I found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... 6.5, because I mean, love is dope, but even Love kind of took a while for me to get. It's 6.5 records and I'm like, I'm bored.
I mean, you're crazy, but yeah, I hear you.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'll be crazy.
You should be crazy.
Yeah.
To me, this is the first time.
Name one genius that ain't crazy.
Aside from Fear needing some trimming, this is the first time where I'm like, eh, okay.
Okay.
So let's talk about Duckworth.
Let's talk about it.
Produced by Ninth Wonder.
Yeah.
Additional production by Beacon. I think he does the extra parts. Not the
like the outro?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
First of all, who knew that Walk Like a Man would be resurrected in 2017?
One of your favorite Ninth Wonder records, right?
Yeah. my notes for this, I just hear Magic Johnson screaming, "Real hip hop is back."
You saying that, or are you saying this is what people are saying?
This is what people are saying.
Okay.
This is, you know, this is very Meet the Parents-ish.
Meet the Parents, like Gaylord Focker or like Jay-Z?
Like Jay-Z.
Oh, okay. Yeah, in terms of storyline. Yep, right. Yep.
Very Meet the Parents-ish. You forgot about Meet the Parents, probably.
Yeah, a little bit.
Meet the Parents is an incredibly underrated Jay-Z record.
Yes, it is.
It's a dope record. I think
this record is dope.
I think people are going a little far.
You have to understand, Doc, we live here.
Where is here?
Well, I mean, like, this ninth wonder, hippity-hop, rappity-rap space, like, you know, we live here. Like, this is where, you know, we pitched our tent for years.
Right.
So, I mean, we've even heard Ninth do better stuff than this.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
So now you've got people who have not heard Ninth ever, or they've only heard Ninth on Threat. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing all this weird rappity-rap stuff. And they're like, oh my God, the beat changes twice. Yo.
This is the best we've heard from Ninth in a while, right? Ninth gave him something special here.
Ninth got some joints on Rhapsody's project. I think, yeah. Like that Rhapsody project that just came out a few months ago. It's got some beats on it.
The one thing I'll say is, listen to this on good headphones. My immediate thought was, man, I've got to have Ali mix my beats because he makes that first Ninth Wonder beat sound ridiculously clear in a way that a Ninth Wonder beat has never sounded before.
Yeah, we got to give Ali credit, man. Oof. His engineering skills are second to none.
Yeah, this album, on, if you've been driving around and you're listening to this, and you've been listening to this album like in your car or on speakers, put on some, they don't even have to be really good headphones, just put on headphones and listen to this album. They put in work.
Yeah, it's really interesting you say listen to headphones because I was told play it in the car.
Nah, those people are crazy. They think play in the car because they want to hear the beat switch on DNA in the car, which actually sounds better on headphones, frankly, if you can believe that. But no, I think this album sounds really great on headphones. But yeah, this is, so, you know, Kendrick is telling what is apparently a true story.
Mm-hmm.
If you've gotten this far in the podcast, then you know it's Anthony, who we find out is Top Dog, you know, there's this alternate reality where he possibly could have killed Kendrick's father. And I don't know, it's good, like, dope beats, good storytelling. It puts a nice little bow on how he thinks, how he wants to answer the question of, is it wickedness or is it weakness?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you hear this the way that I do, then you would say, we all have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, to answer the question that his cousin is, or to answer the points his cousin raises on fear, I think Kendrick points this and goes, no. If you know, because if his cousin were right, Kendrick would be, you know, Kendrick would not be where he is right now.
Mm.
What I've heard from some, what I've seen online that a lot of people are saying is a thing you should do is they say, if you listen to the album in reverse,
mm-hmm,
and you end with how the intro is,
mm-hmm,
where the lady is wicked, then you come out thinking different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's going a little far.
Oh, that's a reach.
This is meant to be played this way. Kendrick is saying it's weakness, not wickedness. That is the point of Duckworth, because otherwise he wouldn't exist.
Mm.
How do you feel about Duckworth?
I like Duckworth a lot. I like it a lot. The Splash Waterfall sample is hilarious, but
it is.
The way he flipped it is dope. The second sample is crazy. And as big of a fan as I am of Hiatus Coyote, I'm not crazy about the third beat. It's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
But it's not as good as the first two.
That's when it really started to feel like Walk Like a Man, because there's one of the beats on Walk Like a Man where I'm like, eh.
Yeah, it might be the third beat.
Right. I think it's very similar where you're like, oh, okay. And yeah. I was like, wow, this is really like Walk Like a Man.
Because which one had like the children's choir singing in it? Was that the second? That was the second.
I haven't heard Walk Like a Man in a long time. If you're listening to this and don't know what we're talking about, first of all, go listen to that first MERS Ninth Wonder project.
316th Max Edition.
Yeah. But
if you like Duckworth, go listen to MERS 316.
Oh, yeah. There's some crazy ninth beats on there.
Mm-hmm.
Not mixed anywhere near as good as this.
No.
But some dope beats.
Shout out to The Pain.
Oh, my God.
That might be one of the first records that like me and Doc connected on. I think we were just both like on soul, like, oh my God, The Pain is amazing.
The Pain is amazing. Pain is amazing. So do you take away from Duckworth what my takeaway was?
No, because I'm still digesting the album.
Okay.
Again, like when I posed the question on Twitter, like, is everybody's favorite Christian rapper Hebrew or Israelite? I was really asking. Like, I really didn't know. So I'm still trying to like figure that out. And, you know, Twitter decoded the entire album in 45 minutes, even though the album is 55 minutes long. So I figured, you know, they would know. So I'm not sure what I've gathered from the album yet, like conceptually. I don't know yet. I'm not sure. We'll have to talk about it next week.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I'll probably dig into it this weekend. It's weird. Like hearing, I'm not going to lie, like sometimes I don't enjoy the album until after we do the show. Like sometimes I feel like I'm obligated to listen to the album because now, we have to talk about it on Tuesday.
And now you get to enjoy it.
Now I get to enjoy it. And then like, so I'll be like, man, I don't really like this album. It's whatever. And then the following week, we don't talk about it again. I'm like, yo, this album is dope.
I feel that. Yeah. For me, it's like I've had all these thoughts build up. I'm like, how did I even get work done today? I don't even know. That was the problem with me.
Yeah, you was hype.
I was ready.
You was hype.
So it's early. It's early. You've only listened to this album maybe 5 times.
Yeah.
But for you, are you happy with what we got from Kendrick?
No. Mm. Nope.
Why is that?
I only like DNA, Element, Feel, Loyalty, Triple X, and Duckworth. That's 7 out of 14. That's a 50%. If we're in school, that's an F. Half of the album I like, the other half I'm bored to tears with.
That is
So coming off of, because what happened was, and let me say this, hold on, let me put my iPad down. Let me take off the blazer, loosen up the tie real quick. So when I first talked to some friends and kind of like, I was trying to figure out like, am I bugging? Like this album's kind of boring. Like, am I tripping? And of course I text some friends and they tell me, yeah, you're tripping. And then the response was, oh, you like Rick Ross's album, but you don't like this album? Number one, Ross is one of my favorites, so I'm a smidge biased. Number two, Ross is not coming off of 2 albums. One in particular that we talked about earlier is, you said it's the greatest album of the 2000s. I say it's one of the greatest debut albums in hip hop history. Without question, we can both agree that it changed the landscape of hip hop and of current music, right?
I don't know if it did.
Mm.
I'm not sure about that. That's an interesting statement.
Hmm. Okay. Well, it did a lot of damage.
Sure. No, I'm just trying to think, like, did it set trends? Did it? I don't know if it did.
I think it put everybody on notice.
Oh, sure.
I think it put everybody on, because I don't think it changed trends, because few people can do what Kendrick does.
Right, right. I mean, like, because I don't think that being an all-time classic and sort of changing the course of hip hop are necessarily tied in together.
Sure.
You know, sure. Like, it's that. Dark and Hell is Hot changed hip hop.
Sure.
That's not a, there's a lot
it's
of flaws.
It's a classic, but it's not a perfect album by any stretch.
There's a lot of flaws on that album.
Yep.
But the moment, the sound, the energy, it was what hip hop needed at the moment.
Yep.
But
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I don't go back and listen to Good Kid and think to myself, yeah, this is when hip hop started doing this.
Mm, I see that. To Pimp a Butterfly, despite its criticisms, still is largely praised as an incredible album. Kendrick Lamar is now in people's top 5 all-time conversation.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
Exactly. So what I'm expecting from Ross is completely different than what I expect of Kendrick. I like the fact that the album was stripped down conceptually, but I don't like the fact he seems like he didn't stick the landing. Had there not been skits and had he kind of just rapped and not tried to explain everything, I think I would have felt different. And then just these slower tempos, man. It just took, like, because when Kendrick is on 10, he's on 10. And when he's not, it's like it's crawling. And I'm not crazy about it. So nah, I'm not even disappointed, because I'll say this and then I'm done. Because we didn't even talk about what I thought we were going to talk about, but that's good.
What did you think we were going to talk about?
I thought we were going to delve into the whole Hebrew Israelite black thing, but I kind of don't want to, and we don't need to. I listened to his discography from Good Kid today, and this is exactly the album that Kendrick needs to make in 2017.
Yes.
So this is not where largely my criticisms of J. Cole were like, man, I remember when he did the warm up and in Friday Night Lights, and he does this, but then on these albums, he does something totally different, and I'm not a fan of it. And I want him to do something that, you know, we later agreed that is just not him. It's just not what he's going to do. This totally fits into the Kendrick Lamar puzzle. It totally fits into the Kendrick Lamar story. So I'm not disappointed that this isn't what I expected, because with Kendrick, I don't have expectations other than greatness. Like, yo, you're going to be amazing because you haven't put out anything that was, you know, that wasn't trash. But, you know, this felt more like kind of how I feel about his previous projects, your Section 80s and your, I can't even think of the OD, where like the great songs are really, really great, but there's a lot of in the midst of that. So, you know, again, maybe in a month, my mind will change. Maybe this will end up on my end of year list. But as of right now, I'm good.
Wow. I mean, I disagree completely.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah. I'm so glad he made this album. I'm so glad this is not To Pimp a Butterfly Part 2.
I agree.
This is just a much more enjoyable album to me. Outside of All Right and Wesley's Theory and King Kunta, there's not a whole lot that I enjoy about To Pimp a Butterfly. But Damn is incredible. I think this is a great album. I have no idea how it's going to hold up compared to the rest of his stuff. I think it's safe to say it's not Good Kid, Mad City, but few albums are. And I think that's why To Pimp a Butterfly was so important, because of To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick won't have to spend his whole life like Nas trying to live up to Illmatic.
Yeah.
Because he switched it up and did a different thing and got even more acclaim, which is incredible. But I like the slow songs on here. I think the slow songs are some of the better songs, but I can totally see how if you don't like the slower stuff, then yeah, all of a sudden, you know, yeah, Pride, Lust, like all of a sudden there's a huge chunk here that you're just like, meh, but I love it. I could do without God, and I could trim up Fear, but otherwise, this is pretty good. This is really good. So there you go.
There you go. Is that everything?
What was your biggest surprise when listening to this?
How disappointed I was.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for me, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I think whether it was on purpose or not, the fact that this album swerves all over the place shows how versatile Kendrick is, which is something I don't know if he gets credit for. I don't ever hear people talking about how versatile Kendrick is. Like DNA to Ya to Element to Feel to Loyalty to Pride to Humble. Like those songs are all totally different. And I knew as soon as I heard the beat switch on DNA, I was like, I was not expecting that from Mike Will and Kendrick.
Yeah, that's one of the moments that I wish I could like put in my back pocket.
For whenever you need it.
The first time you hear that beat switch.
Yeah. But no.
Yo.
I mean, the first time I heard Triple X or X-Rated, whatever I'm calling it. I mean, some of these records are definitely like slow growers. Like Lust, I like more and more every day. Ya, I like more and more every day. Yeah, I think these are really good. So, but this is why we have the show, because we don't always agree. So DNA, that's the video that's out right now. We both think Loyalty is an obvious choice. Anything else on here that you think, you know, depending on what the streaming numbers look like, but you think something else that people might really latch on to?
Well, since he did a video for DNA, Triple X isn't getting a video.
Nope.
Too close. Honestly, I feel like either Element. I feel like Element could be a late single.
I see that.
I feel like Duckworth could be like a fake B-side shoot a video single, but like not necessarily push the radio, but just maybe be part of something. I think so. I think Element's probably the other one. Yeah. I can see a video for like Element, Feel, and Duckworth all in one.
That's interesting.
But I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if Love got like a Beyonce EXO push.
Okay. Anything else you want to say that we haven't said about this album?
Nah, I'm just not looking forward to my Twitter for the next 24 hours.
Well, if you've made it this far, first of all, thank you for listening. But secondly, let us both know what you think. Use the hashtag #ClockRadioSpeakers or hit us up on Twitter @CRSPodcast. I have no idea what we're talking about next week. We probably should talk about the NBA playoffs at some point. We'll probably have some more follow-up thoughts on this album. But anything you want to plug right now or talk about or anything going on?
New single on iTunes very, very soon.
Okay. There you go. So